Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Welcome back to the Membership Machine Show, folks. This is episode 180. In this show, we're going to be discussing how you migrate from LearnDash to Lifter NMS. We're having a few inquiries out there, people looking at moving from LearnDash to Lifter NMS. Some of the advice out there is a little bit outdated. I thought it would be a good subject for us to cover. Got my co-host, Kurt, with me. So, Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure, Jonathan. My name is Kurt Von Onen. I own the agency called Mañana No Mas, and we do a lot of great work with the team over at WP Tonic as well.
Yeah, and I'm the owner of WP Tonic. We're a hosting support, and we're a quasi-agency as well. So let's go into it. But before we do that, I've got a message from a couple of our new sponsors, which are much appreciated. So we're going to go for a quick break, and when we come back, we will be going into the meat and potatoes of migrating from LearnDash to Lifter NMS.
WP Tonic is sponsored by Jetpack. Managing WordPress sites shouldn't mean stitching together a pile of disconnected plugins. Jetpack brings security, performance, publishing, growth, and AI tools together in one WordPress native toolkit. Use what you need. Backup, scan, boost, social, video press, stats, and more. All with modernized dashboards built into WP Admin. For your site or your client's sites, see what Jetpack can do. Jetpack.com. WP Tonic is sponsored by Ninja Forms. And let's talk about one of their powerful tools, conditional logic. Conditional logic is the clearest example. Every rule for the whole form lives in one panel instead of being buried field by field. On client work, build speed and low maintenance are part of your margin. A form that is fast to configure and that a client can run afterward without coming back means less friction during the build and less support load after the handoffs. Ninja Forms, powerful and genuinely easy to work with without being dumbed down. To learn more, go to ninjaforms.com.
We're coming back, folks. Want to point out we've got some great special offers from the sponsors, plus a curated list of the best WordPress technology services, all on one page. How do you get all this info and offers? Well, you go over to wp-tonic.com/deals, or you can do wptonic.com/deals, and you get to the same page, and all of the offers are on that page, folks. Plus, we offer a really inexpensive course done by Kirk himself that show you how to build a whole course using Lifter LMS. So let's go straight into it. So the introduction. So what are some of the, if you were doing an intro about this, what would you initially say, Kurt?
I think the first thing in the intro for the subject matter is why. Like, why are people trying to go from LearnDash to Lifter LMS? I mean, I've been a fan of Lifter LMS for over a decade now, but I've got clients on LearnDash, and I've got clients on some other tools. So, and LearnDash seems like a fine product. So you go, well, why? I think if we're honest, I mean, if we're just really transparent on the show, LearnDash hasn't really come out with any new features or products in recent years. Lifter has, right? So they're actively developing Lifter. The customer service at Lifter, as far as I'm concerned, is superior. Of course, I'm part of the team, so I'm a little biased. But they just recently consolidated product over at their parent company, and the site for LearnDash and the blogs and the knowledge base and all that stuff just seemed to vanish. And it seemed to have caused an uptick in people that wanted to migrate away. So the subject's very timely, and there's a lot of people, you know, in that space thinking this. And I didn't want people not in that space to wonder where did the topic come from or why are we even talking about it. So that said, it's like comes the needs assessments, right? So what state is your learning project in? Was it in development? Do you have active students? Do you have a large audience? Is it a small audience? And then figure out what the expectations are from the client or from the course creator. Because there's different ways to migrate and there's different things that would be included in a migration. And that's important to know which pathway you want to take and how much effort you need to put in.
Yeah, it's a quite fluent situation. You know, to move from one, there's half a dozen WordPress-based learning management systems out there. There's probably more, but I would say there's about half a dozen that are, I think, are reasonably active. And it's not going to be totally straightforward with a WordPress system, but it's going to be more feasible than you are on a SaaS. But that's changing as well, which we're going to be discussing later on during this show, the possibility of moving from a SaaS to Lifter LMS, in my opinion, has become easier because of new technology. But it's definitely the size of the membership, how you're going to deal with moving to a new learning management system with the subscriptions. You're probably going to be able to move most of the data across, like the quizzes, but it has to be looked at. Because it's mostly around, have you had a lot of customization done? Because the more customization, the more automatic systems that are out there, which we're going to discuss, probably ain't going to work. So there has to be a discussion, and then there has to be a certain looking over the website, looking over the database, looking over things, because depending who the people hired before, there probably is probably no documentation that's been done of any importance, and it might have been done years ago, and they might have hired other developers to work on it, and it's probably, if that's the case, it's probably not been any paperwork provided, as you know, Kirk. But that has to be paid for, that time to check it over, right? Which a lot of clients don't understand, do they? They just think you should be able to log in, spend a few minutes, and then give them a quotation, don't they?
Well, yeah, that falls under that expectation clause I was talking about earlier, right? It's really important to understand the scope that a customer or course creator is looking for in the space. And then to your point, you know, do a valid needs assessment in the back of the site, right? So actually sign in, look at things, look at, you know, custom CSS, look at, you know, different things to see what you're getting involved in. A good example of this is a recent project I've been working with. And originally, you know, it's like, well, we've got so many course tracks and so many courses and, you know, so many lessons per course. And so then the average builder is going to think to themselves, okay, well, if that's, you know, turns into 100 lessons, I've got 100 videos to embed and, you know, text to format, right? And you think of that time, you go, okay, we could do that in this amount of time. And then when you get into the project, you find out that the customer actually has, you know, 4 videos per lesson. And you go, well that's video hosting at 4x. That's video embedding at 4x. That's all of that takes time. And so you want to make sure that when you're doing a needs assessment and you're looking at these projects, you're really looking at the project from an overall perspective and not making assumptions as to what's normal. Because when you get into the e-learning space, you quickly learn that nothing's normal.
Yeah, you're describing it as needs. I describe it as paid discovery.
Yeah, same thing.
Same term, isn't it?
Yeah. Paid discovery hurts more when you say it because it means they're going to swipe a credit card.
Well, in some ways, yeah. And that varies. The minimum at WP Tonic is $500, but it could be a lot more. It could be a couple thousand. It could be up to 5,000, depending on the size how much time is going to have to be paid in this process. But anybody, apart from a very, very small migration, in my experience, there are no small migrations. There's always additional things they want to do after you start discussing with them. It always escalates the requirements of the project.
There's things that people don't recognize, right? And so there's a lot of agencies, there's a lot of freelancers out there where if you would say, yeah, I want to migrate my course from this site to this site, they'd say, okay, yeah, we can do that for you. And they'd quote you a migration. And you'd think, okay, cool, I'm handled. And then they'd say you're done, and you'd sign, you'd be like, well, where are my users? Where are the previously issued certificates? You know, where's the subscription agreements for people that were subscribed on recurring billing? Where did that go? Those are all separate things. And so that has to be part of the discussion as to what is actually coming in the migration. I know that you've got a couple of tools on our show notes, but there's one tool in particular between LearnDash and Lifter LMS, whereas if you need to bring over, you know, quizzes, evaluations, assignments, courses, lessons, user database, like all of that migrates, right? But it's a much more involved, like as you said, checking over the site. When that's all done, you got to audit the site pretty well to make sure everything fell in the right category in the right space in the database to make things matter. Now, before we go too far, Jonathan, this is a really good opportunity to mention to people, you don't always have to migrate and keep everything the same. This is a really great opportunity. Let's say that you wanted to upgrade your user experience, your student experience. You want to upgrade the copy in your website. You want to change your branding or your overall look and feel. Maybe migration isn't even on the platter. Like a lot of people use the term migration thinking they have to migrate, when in reality, you're just going to build a new site and then transfer the URL over when it's ready to go public. So it's really important to look at like your opportunity as a business or a course creator. Like, is this your opportunity to rebrand and put out something new? Or do you really need to bring forth that legacy content and legacy data and move that forward into a new, you know, environment?
Yeah. So let's move forward. Key differences between LearnDash and Lifter LMS. Are there any key differences in fundamentally how it works that people got to be aware of, Kurt?
Well, I use these tools quite a bit. And so for me, the main difference between LearnDash and Lifter LMS is the way that membership is treated, because not only does Lifter LMS include the membership management as part of its core, but as part of that core, it also covers the content restriction. And so LearnDash folks typically use a third-party member management system to manage who actually accesses their platform, and then usually brings in like Content Restriction Pro or something like that if they're using content restriction in the site.
Well, you're right, but where it gets strict, and based on my experience, and I don't think this has fundamentally changed, there's a number of membership plugins out there. And most people with LearnDash, they use a membership plugin. And where it gets a bit tricky is if they're using MemberPress, because MemberPress uses a very, very effective, it's a very effective plugin, but they use a restriction system that's slightly unusual compared to other plugins that are generally used. And if they're using MemberPress, that's when it can get a bit tricky.
Yeah, yeah. And since Lifter has that as part of their core, it's very fundamental in dealing with students, enrollment, roles, memberships. It all flows very well, whereas in LearnDash, people have been using extra tools to try and strategize their own work methods, their own workflows. And that can create complication.
What I've learned is in some strange way, it's easy if they're using it with WooCommerce, because actually, because WooCommerce deals with the subscription and that. But I say that, it still can be a bit tricky, because on the WP Tonic website, I started off using a membership plugin, and then I'm still having to use it because it's going to be, even though I'm using WooCommerce, it's going to be a little bit tricky. I like to get that fixed and just use WooCommerce, basically. I will look into that in the next couple of months. I think the other tricky thing, so the key ways to get your website courses ready for transferring to Lift NMS, is any insights about that?
I don't have a ton of insight in this area. The best thing that I have for people is, like, this is a great opportunity to evaluate the current state of your training and then clean things up, right? This is your chance to put your best foot forward. A lot of people, and let's just call it lazy Jonathan, you know, they just go, oh, one and done, you know, and they'll keep flogging that same mule until it falls over dead and nobody signs up anymore. But this is your opportunity to freshen things up, you know, maybe put in a new welcome video or a new intro or something. So in that respect, I think in those terms, the other thing is, and it's now I'm having a hard time remembering how they do it. Lifter LMS uses lessons, sections, courses, membership, course tracks, like has a hierarchy in the way that it works. LearnDash has an extra thing in there. It's like lessons, and I forget, it's like type or tag or something.
They also have groups as well.
Yeah, it was a way to separate the learning content. I'm not talking about like memberships or groups. It was a way to separate the learning content, the lessons. Yeah. And so knowing that Lifter LMS doesn't have that, Lifter LMS has sections, but the sections are blank. They don't hold any data. They're just like titles for a new area of learning, right? LearnDash has something else there that they use. I have had customers come to me and ask me to work with that or to custom develop Lifter, and I've turned it down every time. I'm like, nah, I don't see the sense in it. So I've never had to work with it. But there is that extra level that LearnDash people have. So you want to clean that up before you move.
And it kind of overflows into the next question. I think we still got time to deal with it. Yeah. And that's how to manage existing users, subscribers. And this is where they always... The best way, in my opinion, is get existing subscribers to resubscribe. It's the cleanest way. Offer some inducive, offer some freebie, offer, you know, next time they they get a 10%. I don't know what inducement you offer, but based on my experience, it's just easier just to get, you know, obviously if they're, the thing with it is, depends, you get resistance because, you know, you have to look at how much of the course they're paid yearly, how much have they paid, because you're going to have to give them, you're going to have to make a decision how much. It's normally best to be a bit generous about them re-signing up and offer them a little bit extra time or whatever. But it's just going to be easier if they sign up. But almost always you get pushback. They don't really like that idea. They want the subscriptions to be migrated to the new platform and somebody, the subscriptions just to seamlessly run and the person be able to look up, and they, when it comes to renewal, it's going to renewal just as normal. And that's tricky, isn't it, Kurt?
Well, it's more than tricky. It's... You know, a lot of the payment gateways specify that you can't do that, you know, that whenever you change product or change methodology, that you need to get new financial approval from the end user. And it makes total sense. I know that some people say, man, I don't want to do that because, you know, based on attrition, we're going to lose 30% of our user base. Well, that's a really giant red flag, Jonathan. If you're afraid you're going to lose 30% of your user base because they have to, you know, reinitiate the charge, that tells you your product's probably not valuable enough. You know, the changing the website's not the problem. It's the It's the content or the way that you treat your tribe that is the problem. People need to – this happens with payment gateways too. So this is important to consider. If you were on the Lifter LMS native payment gateway and then you switched to WooCommerce, if you turned off that Lifter LMS payment gateway, it's not automatically going to carry over to the WooCommerce. They would have to re-up.
Yeah. I think that's a good place for us to go for our middle break. I think we've covered some good insights. I think we're given a good landscape about some of the things you've got to understand and that. So we're going to go for our middle break. And when we come back, we'll be looking at some of the tools, some other things that you need to know to have a successful migration from LearnDash to Lifter LMS. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Updating plugins and themes shouldn't feel risky. That's why over 300,000 WordPress users trust WP Rollback. With just a click, you can safely roll back any plugin or theme. No manual file uploads and no downtime. And with WP Rollback Pro, you can download premium plugins and themes. Tools like Elementor, Gravity Forms, and more. Track every rollback you do with detailed activity logs. Protect your workflow and take the stress out of updates. Learn more at wprollback.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. Want to point out, also do a fantastic newsletter. Covers a topic around membership, and also I do a review of some of the best tech stories that come on my radar, and I give you about 3 or 4 of those stories, and it's all done by myself. You can sign up for the newsletter. It's totally free by going over to wp-tonic.com/newsletter, wp-tonic.com/newsletter. So let's go into the second half. So tools. Now, did a reasonable review what was coming up, and you got TransferBot Honors WP and you got WP All Export Pro. They seem to be the two leading ones. Are there any tools that you want to mention as well?
It comes down to what are we moving again, right? If I wasn't worried about the user information, if I was just moving the course, I know we're going to talk about, you know, how Chris Badgett showed that video.
Yeah, well, that's in the next. That's the next part of this. Yeah,
go on. But I wanted to go just even simpler than that, right? If you use the import-export tool in WordPress, you know, you can export the lessons, you can export the courses, you can export things and import them over. And so there are tools where if you just want certain elements of content, you can completely do that. If you have a simple course, this is the one where everybody like loses their mind, you know, and they go, you might not have to do like a migration, quote unquote. If you have a very simple course, 10 lessons, and it's one course, 10 lessons, and a quiz, copy and paste, man. Jump in there, copy, paste, copy, paste, copy, paste. Boom. You do that 10 times, you got your course, and it's done. You set up the access plan through Lifter. You set up your membership, you know, kind of structure that you want, and you launch. You just relaunch. That's what I was talking about earlier, where, like, this is your chance to rebrand, relaunch, redo. For some people, that's the magic. Like, that's just perfect. And so I wanted to make sure that we brought out the obvious, right? Like, yeah, you could copy and paste and redo something and it would be fine. But if you want to jump into user transfer and, you know, certificate transfer and all that stuff, then I think transfer by Honors WP is by and large my go-to.
Which one, sorry?
Transfer by Honors WP.
Yeah, you've actively used it, have you?
Yeah, I've actively used it, like paid for it, used it. The folks that make it they're great folks. I mean, they're just really fun people. I met them at WordCamp. We stayed in touch through the Lifter ecosystem. I did a podcast with them when they first launched Transfer, and they've made a lot of improvements since that launched. So it's a much more seamless process now.
Is it used also mostly with WooCommerce and other migrations?
So I've always used LearnDash and Lifter, but Transfer works with other products. So there's a gambit of them. There's like a menu, and they've expanded that some. So I don't want to speak on it and speak incorrectly. I've only used the LearnDash to Lifter. The first one I did, be honest with you, I had problems, and I was glad I was on a paid version and not a free version. The guys are really generous, and they offered to let me have a copy for free. But I was doing client work. I didn't think that was ethical, so I paid for it, and I'm glad I did because I needed their support. And second time I did it, flawless. Third time I did it, flawless. So I've been really happy with the product.
And you've got any experience with WP or Export Pro?
I have, you know, Emily from Lifter LMS. I've talked to her about it a few times. I have used it once, but I wouldn't call that in anger. It was a very simple project, but it seems like a very straightforward way to go. It's just very exacting. Like it's very particular. You want to select certain things, select other things, and then when you bring over the import. I go back to this is one of those that you want to audit and make sure it did what you thought it was going to do.
All right, so let's move on to Chris Badgett, the one of the founders of Lifter LMS. Recently, he did a video using AI and Claude to migrate a course. So I think where this applies, I personally, if you were looking to move from LearnDash to Lifter LMS, I would either, if it's a simple thing, you'd probably be okay using the WordPress export functionality. If you're dealing with a bigger course, you probably want to hire WP Tonic, speak to Kirk, and we'd probably use a tool like Honors WP. But where Claude AI really shines is if you are on a SaaS like Kajabi or Teachable or there's over a dozen that I think are serious platforms, and you wanted to move in WordPress and you had a reasonably large course structure and a number of students, it was a mega undertaking, you know, not something. I think AI and Claude does offer, it's still going to be an undertaking, but it's a more plausible undertaking. That's my take on this. What's your views on Chris's video and your own view about using AI and Claude in the migration process?
I'm sure Chris knows how I feel on the inside about these videos he'll do sometimes. He gets very, very excited, and I get it. It's AI is fun. And he's growing in his AI journey at a rate that is, you know, exponential to my own. He's doing a lot of really cool things. I always get worried when we portray something to people as if like, hey, all you got to do is type this in and wickety whack, it's good to go. That always freaks me out. And what really freaked me out with Chris's video here is that, you know, he has the benefit of working in demo websites, right? If he breaks something, he spools up another demo site. If something goes wrong, he spools up another demo site. When we are talking to customers, when we are talking to agencies, I think it's really important to mention like, hey, you want to play like this, that's fine. Go do that in a staging site or go do that in a sample site.
You're making a good point there, folks. You never, never want to do any of this initially on your production live website. you want a staging site and you want to do it twice, you really got to do it on a staging site. If we were doing this for you, we would not do it on your production site. We would fully test it on the staging. That's why the quote we would give you is probably a little bit higher than you thought, because we're not doing it on your. We're going to have to duplicate all this, but because it's our responsibility to make sure that this all runs, you know, and we're going to want to put it, you know, preferably on the live site on a different server. So we still got the old site as a backup and we just changed the DNS records. And if something really turns up, we can do all the checking we like, but something's only turn up when you're actually running the site. Because yeah. Otherwise we're going to have to do so much testing that it doesn't become economic to do it. But so it's always best if you've got... you've got the existing site and you've moved it to a new server, you're paying for a couple months for the hosting, for the previous hosting. That's what I would advise you. What's your response to what I've just said?
Yeah, right on the money. I'm very, very cautious, especially with, you know, I'm less cautious with my own stuff. Which you know firsthand from being friends with me, Jonathan. I'm less cautious with my own stuff. Yeah. When it's client stuff, man, dot the I's, cross the T's, it's got to be right. And so, yeah, it would be a staging environment, all that stuff. Now, the thing I really liked about Chris's video was it wasn't smoke and mirrors thing. Like a lot of these AI bros on YouTube are like, well, you know, all I did was tell it this and tell it that and boom, Bob's your uncle. I got this and the other. He actually said, you know, here's the prompt. I'm going to put the prompt in the lesson
Well, you know, straight away it's not real if they don't provide the prompts in the description or provide a link to the result. If they're not providing step-by-step instructions and prompts, and it's one of these videos that they're showing you and then boom, a third of it's missing, you know it's smoke and mirrors. You know that it's just nonsense, really, isn't it?
Well, I think the inspirational takeaway from the video that Chris had done was I took a lot of what he did in that video. What was interesting to me was he uploaded the whole zip file of Lifter LMS, the plugin, to Claude and said, this is what you're going to use to build this. This is the entire, you know, this is the entire file on Lifter LMS. So you understand how the code's written and all that kind of stuff. So when you build something for me, it's going in your and you give me a JSON file, we know it's going to work in this platform. And I think that set a guardrail in the AI to make sure that he got something that was usable when he was done. It didn't pull in data from other things because he said, you know, you have to use the zip file and stay within these parameters. If you are using an AI tool that doesn't allow you to upload the zip file that is that large, you could tell the AI to go to Lifter LMS and GitHub and take those files from the GitHub because they're there, right? So there's always a workaround to get to that space. But Chris did the video and he gave everybody the prompt. And then I thought, doing something similar, I'm going to use Claude and I'm going to have it write me a course for XYZ. And so I said, hey, Claude, I want you to ask me some questions about, for me, I did it for bicycling. Ask me some questions about bicycling. I want to make a course about bicycling that encourages parents to get their kids on bikes. Claude made the whole course, put in placeholder videos and everything, just gave me everything on a JSON file. I imported that into my sample website and everything worked like a dream. Like, it was a really cool way to create something. And I think Chris really unlocked a door for a lot of course creators through that exercise.
I haven't tested this and I'm only surmising it. And really, I should test it. But I think what also interests me is look at one of the Kajabi or Podio or example courses website and then have Lifter and then ask Claude, scan that Kajabi website and then import it into this and give access, admin access to the Lifter LMS, and they import it, attempt to import everything in that Kajabi and the call structure and modify it and put it into Lifter. And I'll be just, it won't work straight away, but I would surmise that you might be more impressed than you think, actually.
I think the issue there is that the AI, Claude, or whatever tool you're using, doesn't have the login access to get the data. Like in Chris's example, you had to go into LearnDash to do an export of the course, supply the export of the course, and then it took that and refactored that JSON file based on Lifter LMS's plugin folder, right? If you tell it to go look at a course in Kajabi without having a way to export that course to give it that content or to export a Podia course, I think you're going to run into roadblocks where it's going to say, I was unable to access that content. I don't have logins or whatever.
Well, you would have to give it the admin to the bank, but you have no access to the database. But
yeah,
but if you took some screenshots and that, but I think you might be more surprised than you think. I'm not saying it'd be flawless the first time, but I think, because otherwise the only alternative you've said to people is it's copy and paste, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, and interestingly enough that you bring this up, I am actually looking at bringing on a Kajabi migration project in the next couple of weeks. And so maybe I'll have an update for the show.
All right. Any final thoughts?
If I had to pick a final thought, it would be this. I mean, for people that are hearing us talk about these platforms and not sure what really, you know, because you might hear Tutor LMS, Lifter LMS, LearnDash, Moodle, you know, LearnUpon, Bridge, all these different things. Sample it. You know, Lifter LMS has a demo trial site package. It's like $1, right? Spend $1. They host it for you. It's populated with courses and lessons and users. It's like a fully blown LMS that you get to play with so that you understand what it is you're actually building or what its capabilities are. I think that's important because I think a lot of people might listen to shows like this, Jonathan, but if they're not actively like in it, if they're not up to their knees in LMS and databases and learning content, and we're having this discussion, it's interesting, but it's not compelling. Right? It's more compelling if, like, you go, hey, if I wanted to make my own course, how would I do it? Get that demo site, give yourself a quick little tour of a site that's fully put together, and then you know what it is you're actually building.
I think that's a great point. So what's the best way to find more about you and what you're up to, Kurt?
I'm usually available on LinkedIn. I'm the only Kurt Von Onen on LinkedIn, but I do need to put a disclaimer down this week. I have gotten an incredible amount of spam through LinkedIn in the last 2 weeks, and it's taken me forever to get back to folks.
Yeah. And if you want to contact me, folks, I'm active on Twitter X. I'm active on LinkedIn. I would say LinkedIn, Twitter X, and on YouTube, the WP Tonic YouTube. But they're the three main platforms that I'm reasonably active on. Or you can just email me at jonathan@wp-tonic.com. You can do that as well. We will be hopefully back next week with another topic that you're going to find useful. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.